The intro, Jay, for Discussions of Truth. We are in San Antonio, Texas, and I have a very intriguing man with me here at the moment. Doug, please introduce yourself for listeners.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? My name is Doug Ward. Go by Danger Doug. I'm a retired military veteran. Served 26 years. Started my career in the Marine Corps. Retired out of the Navy. Did communications for some of the SEAL teams. And retired after that. Worked in the defense industry. Got to see a lot of things. And we're currently in a situation right now where I don't think people really truly understand the danger that the Republic's in.
Doug, I'm going to insert this. I just passed this information for listeners. Eric John Phelps is somebody that people that listen to the work I've done and do. Eric John Phelps is a theologian that I've interviewed on this show, and I've recently had people look into his work. Protocol 10 of the Learned Elders of Zion calls for the inoculation of diseases. Eric John Phelps, for instance, Doug, says that this is although it seems to be a Jewish controlled and engineered protocol design, it is not. And he says it is Jesuit. This is what Eric John Phelps says. I'm going to insert this here, Doug, before you continue here. 14. I get the exact date for you, and I just published this, Doug, on my Instagram. And this is for for listeners to understand. We were just in a back room, right? We were in a dining room, and we were having a conversation with the great Alan Keyes.
Yes, we were.
Okay, and Alan is coming at perhaps what you and I will be discussing from a different perspective. And I'm saying
correct
different perspective because Alan is a beautiful human being, but his ancestry is different from what you and I ancestry would be. And this is why I'm inserting this right now, because this is where I think this discussion is going to go. This is where the road it's going to go down. Now, this is what I'm getting at right now, Doug, is I'm going to read you a quote by Werner Stein. And the quote reads, in 1441, the Portuguese, who were on their journey of discovery at Cape Bianca, West Africa, met there the Negroes for the first time. With this bull, papal bull, now they received from the highest authority of the Holy See, S-E-E, the premises to enslave these peoples. Okay, this is 1441. They're enslaving human beings on the continent of Africa, okay, via a papal bull.
Correct.
Okay. This practice was common since 1441. Now, these three bulls, and I'm getting this information via what I have been learning from Eric John Phelps, who I've sent you a link to. So listeners understand, Doug has now been sent this link, he sent the video. These three bulls, 1452, Dum Diversus, papal authority to enslave, quote, Sassarans, pagans, and unbelievers.
Correct.
It's 1452, to enslave unbelievers. Second papal bull, Romanus Pontifex, 1454, grants African slavery monopoly, meaning entire control, to the Portuguese crown. Okay, and that is a subservient crown, as we just discussed off mic. And third, 1493 papal bull, called Inter Caetera, which divided the globe conquest in half. The Pope gave half of the globe to Spanish conquest and the other half, the rights, to the Portuguese conquest. Do those bulls, historically, in your view, Doug, do those equate to anything that's happening right now in the United States? In your view, in your opinion?
In my view, one of the things that I would look at, when you're looking at those bulls, it's also tied to the English crown. And all these crowns are so interconnected. And what people don't understand is,
now you're saying crowns multiple. What do you mean by that?
So if you look at each crown, they do a lot of
monarchy?
The monarchies, right? You're doing a lot of interbreeding. There's stuff in the background. That's how they've been able to connect and intertwine with each one of these, you know,
power
kingdoms, as you might want to call them. They've done this across the globe. They're, you know, if you look at the Vatican is a deep-seated power.
Religious within, monopoly?
I wouldn't even just call it a religious monopoly. You're looking at probably the biggest intelligence operation in the world.
How do you know this, Doug? How do you know? Well,
you know, this is basically look at each country, look at the how they've been able to manipulate them with the Pope. Most, if you look at South America, for example, all of South America is heavy what? Catholic.
South America, sure, of course. And even Mexico, and even part of North America, so, a third of North America.
And then, of course, North America, which has kind of died down to, died down somewhat. And a lot of that's because of the politics to basically turn the United States into a communist nation. Now, why would they not do that in South America? They don't mind the religion, but they understand the religion's kind of running its course. They want to have a one world religion. They realize
they Who's they?
That would be the Vatican. That would be the Pope. They realize, you have to understand, they understand they've got the divide and conquer. You've got the Muslims, you've got the Christians, you know, the Hindus. You've got all this these divide and conquer tactics that go on and these powers that be. They want to bring it all together under one envelope. That's how they feel they can get that complete power. To have complete power and consolidation also means elimination of historical enemies.
Okay, get back to crowns. You were talking about the monarchy. If this is a global structure of dominance and power that's rooted from the historical network of the Vatican, which has been around for what, 2,000 years, close to it. If this is the case, Doug, how does that relate to these crowns that you speak of, or monarchies?
Right, so the crowns were basically a dividing up of power just for control of land and resources. It's kind of like the states in the United States. You had 50 states, but they all kind of fell under one government. Everybody kind of came together, did their things, kind of like land barons in England, right? They all reported to the crown. Well, all these separate crowns, you're just taking it at a bigger level. They all report to the Vatican.
How do you know that?
If you do the research on this, all of them are intertwined. All of them have always listened to what the church says. Why?
What's the research that sticks out in your mind that
shows most of the research that I've done depicts around the Templar Knights, a lot of the things that they did, the French and the English both sending Christian warriors, quote unquote, using the we have to do this because of Jesus, you know, following his word. We have to...
Like a crusade.
Exactly. So we had the crusades not just once, but twice. This was all about resources. It was all about power. It was nothing... There was no love. There was no giving of love to the Saracens.
No Christianity in it at all.
No, there was none at all. It was all about power. They used that. It's the same thing if you look at the current situation in the world. We sent American troops to Afghanistan. We sent American troops to Iraq. It was never about freedom. It was about consolidation of resources.
Opium.
Power. Well, you have opium. That's your main source in Afghanistan. You know, I was there three tours. If you look at Iraq, I was there two tours. That was a consolidation of oil. The resources that were there, possible mining rights, depending on if they could find, you know, any type of minerals, things of that nature. I mean, think about this. Do you think when U.S. forces are there and you see, like, U.S. NGOs over there or actual government agencies, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're actually here to do what? I remember talking to a couple guys, and I'm like, well, why would you have the Geological Service here? Why would you have, like, why are certain government agencies walking around Iraq? Isn't their main purpose to be doing things in the United States and keeping track of our geological surveys and stuff of that nature, updating those as the Earth, you know, does its thing? No, you had massive amounts of different government agencies that were infiltrating and basically trying to figure out what are the resources we could use. You know, look at Iran. Iran, you know, the greatest empire in the world was Persia, right? One of them.
Yeah. It took out the Spartans, but barely. Barely, right?
Correctly. Yeah, with 300, they fought pretty good, but at the end of the day.
Xerxes, was it?
Xerxes. At, what is it, Thermopylae?
Sounds right.
I'm trying to remember the name of the... But when we look back at this, the consolidation of these empires, the monarchies themselves, you have to understand, you have the English crown, you have the Portuguese crown, you had the Spanish crown.
And Columbus was Portuguese, financed by the Spanish crown. Is that how that went?
Yeah, and then you had, correct, right, so you had that. You also had the Italians themselves, I got tongue-tied, the word.
Not colluding.
Basically, they combined. So if you look at the Byzantine Empire, that was a Christian empire. It collapsed under the weight of its own greed and was consolidated parts of it into Christianity with Greece and that and what have you. But it was allowed to fail because it was not providing the power structure to the Vatican. The Vatican would rather let it fail at that time because they knew they could control the Saracens. They had the power. They had the strength to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because if you look at where Constantinople mm-hmm. is now, what? Istanbul.
Constantine crowned emperor of the western half
and that
of the
was
empire.
If I remember correctly, wasn't that I think it was 1400-year empire. It was roughly almost 1400 years. That's a long time for an empire. But they got comfortable. And they eventually got overrun. But the Vatican, did you think the Vatican went to help them? Do you think the Roman Empire, or what was used to be the Roman Empire, went to help them? No. They let them fail because they had agreements probably in place, right? Look at the royal blood that spread, the tribes that went out, spoken of in the Bible.
So let me ask you this question. If the Vatican, it seems like we're looking at history here, and we're saying, hey, the Vatican is a common denominator here. It just simply is. It is a common denominator in these different struggles and battles and wars. I'm going to throw something out in a totally different field for you, Doug. We'll bring it back to mm-hmm. what we know as America.
Correct.
Is it possible that an institution like the IRS could be controlled by the Vatican?
Yes.
Talk about that.
So it would run through England? The City of London, controlled by...
What's the City of London?
So the City of London is basically all your banking. That's all your financial. That's controlling all the money.
The Queen.
Controlling all the money. That gets
controlled. Is the Queen controlling it, or is it controlling the Queen?
I think it's a situation of both. Because wealth and power has a way of corrupting you. So you have that control going on there with the final answer... And the final dictates coming from the Vatican.
But hold on, Doug. How do we get from the IRS created 1914?
Something. Yeah. Right after 1913 to Jekyll Island.
Right. Right after. You're talking about
J.P. Morgan.
Right.
All the bankers.
Aldrich. Senator Aldrich.
Correct.
Which was the main. Working with the German. You're talking about Jekyll Island, right? So that led up to the 1913 passing of the Federal Reserve Act, and then what we're saying here is the IRS. So the IRS, we're just talking right as far as like following the money. So go IRS. How do we equate, Doug? How do we equate the IRS to the City of London?
So the IRS collects the money, right? If you look at all the money that's collected from American, American citizens, you take that money, you never see it going to the debt. The money is always taken. So then you take that money and it's moved.
You mean to pay off the debt?
Correct. It never goes to pay off the debt. It's just using a quote unquote pay off the bankers in the City of London. The IRS, so you're basically looking at, it's like a self-licking ice cream cone. The money just keeps coming in, and it just keeps accruing. You're not seeing the interest on that. I'm not seeing the interest on that. And it just keeps flowing. And then they take the money. Now we don't have gold-backed currencies. So now you don't have gold backed currencies. So now everything is on digital ledgers. So if I was to ask you, and you say, I got $10,000 in my checking account, do you really have $10,000 in your checking account? If you go to your bank right now and ask them, I need $10,000.
They won't give it to you.
They won't give it to you. Matter of fact, you have to put in a request to get it, and it might be like 3 days, and they'll say, oh, you can come pick it up on this day. Why? Because they have to go get that physical cash.
Because they don't have it.
They don't have it physically there. They have to have it sent to them.
And Hayward, California.
So,
and she was like, you know.
Okay. You're talking about gold-backed currencies. We know, well, Nixon abolished the gold standard in 1971.
Correct.
My question
is, are you advocating, and again, we can get back to the IRS and the City of London and the trails back to Rome, but are you saying that there should possibly be a gold-backed currency? Is that something that would
if you have a gold,
be of use?
A lot of people are on the Bitcoin bandwagon, cryptocurrency, things of that nature. At this point in time, that is a great thing. Okay? It actually is. I don't dabble in it. I know people that have, and they've benefited extremely well financially. Some of them not so much. And it's not that they haven't benefited. It's kind of like a gambling addiction. I see some people getting into that. It's becoming kind of like people with lottery tickets, constantly going in buying $200 lottery tickets, thinking they're going to make $50 return on that. So what we're seeing is you have the cryptocurrencies, which are a good thing at this point. The problem is there's a global digital currency plan to be put in place, right? The governments are talking about this. A lot of governments.
Klaus Schwab.
Correct.
Right.
If that currency goes into play, do you think they're going to let Bitcoin and Ethereum and those things stand? No, that's going to be a direct competition with them. Along with the competition, it's not trackable like a government cryptocurrency would be. Whereas, you know, if I tie in your cryptocurrency, that's a government currency, and I tie it to a vaccination card, I tie it to your medical records, it's like one big file on you. Now you take that, I can actually turn off your payments. Or ability to pay. Or I can shut off your mortgage. Hey, you tie it in with the social credit score, which China's already
doing.
Right, they're already doing it. So they basically are approved the concept. So the technocrats and those in power are sitting back thinking, man, why didn't we think of this? So now they're adopting the concepts that the communists are putting in place. The only way around is to get into a gold-backed currency, have it reset, or people are going to have to get into a bartering situation. You have to understand how to barter. The only way currently out of the situation we're in now is, and a lot of people don't want to hear this, take a walk back in time and go back into a bartering system where everybody has gold coins, maybe some silver coins, and you trade. Basically, if I want you to have money, I'm going to pay you for a service. So I'm going to ask you, Trotter, what service are you going to offer me so I can pay you? Hey, I will help till your garden. Roger that. Matter of fact, and not only that, if you help me till my garden, guess what I'm going to do? I and then you work in the deal. You said, hey, you know what? If I help you till this garden, because it's a lot of work. Can you promise me food next year when the season comes around? That's where we're going. The current world situation, a lot of people are jumping on candidates and parties. First off, with the candidates, the idolatry, that's a problem right now that we're witnessing. People are still following candidates with a blind loyalty.
For instance?
President Trump.
Okay, so you're...
I'm not saying that's a bad thing to follow Trump, but it's the complete willingness to put him over the Lord. I see this quite a bit.
Saying he's better, he's more important than God? Is that what you're saying?
To some people it is. And I've witnessed it.
that seems like how people were reacting to Obama. They were worshiping this guy, like he was a king and or a god.
Exactly. It's the same thing with Obama. You have to understand when people...
Like a savior.
Exactly. So look at what's going on right now. Like if you go on Twitter, if you go on Instagram, if you go on a lot of these platforms, what are you seeing? Everyone's so behind a candidate. They're so wanting someone back.
Right. Yeah.
Not understanding. Time out. Where are you in life? No one's taking a look at themselves. You know, I was telling you, Clay and I are having a conversation, and I told
Clay,
him.
Clay Clark. And he calls you Dangerous Doug.
Yeah, well, he likes to call me Scary Doug, too.
Oh, Scary Doug.
You know, and he calls me that because I was telling him stuff a year ago, what was happening.
How'd you meet him?
I was actually starting my own podcast, and he invited me on as a guest. And we're going to talk about a business I was...
So he found you?
He found me. And one of the things him and I talked about is vaccine mandates. I told him, I said, they're going to be coming. And there was other things through our conversation that I can't remember everything. And I think he probably thought I was a conspiracy theorist. You know, some of it, like, it's just, there's just no way.
For instance?
And so some of it was the vaccine mandates. It's like, no, it'll never get to that point. It's like, you know, we'll fight it. And I'm like, you can't fight what's going to get put in place. Then you're going to be, you know.
You saw it coming.
I saw it coming right after this whole thing started. I already knew. You have to understand, I was in the military, and I worked with some of the guys I worked with, psychological operations. And when you're in Iraq and Afghanistan, and you're watching the whole, when the hearts and minds, if you notice right now what's going on, we're looking at a win the hearts and minds of the world.
Okay.
Look at the World Health Organization, the World Economic Foundation, Klaus Schwab, all these people, they're trying to talk to you in these nice ways. And, oh, hey, we're going to do this for you, Bill Gates.
Here's the resolution.
You know, problem, solution, Bill Gates. Yeah, we need, now we, what is the big thing? You had the election. You had all this other stuff going on. You had COVID. As COVID is kind of dying down right now a little bit, it's kind of slowing down. Now, all of a sudden, within the last 2 weeks, they've cranked up the climate change. They have to have the cause. So it's problem, solution. So they're trying to say, you know, and Biden even brought it up. It's going to come to a point where you're only going to get to have meat maybe once a month. It's like once a week or once a month. I'm trying to remember.
Or if you're a white man, you can't have any red meat at all.
Yeah. And then you're... Look at
you can't eat cow meat. You can't have a steak.
Right, so I'm like, so the audience is there.
No
right?
milk for you.
Right, I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. You obviously are crushing it in the gym, right? You take care of yourself. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. I do enjoy the gym.
And there's a reason for that.
Feels
now,
good.
Can you imagine? They say you're totally cut off from meat, chicken, poultry. You know,
no, forget about it.
So. Forget that's the situation. No.
You're gonna have to go through me, like Biden told DeSantis, or like DeSantis told Biden. You're gonna have to go through me.
Exactly. So now we're in a situation. Look at this food situation, climate change. So now they're saying, okay, we want, because of climate change, we have to reduce the carbon footprint. So you have Bill Gates doing what? Before they even came out with this, they were already telegraphing what they were gonna do. So Bill Gates started doing what? He started buying up all the farmland that's irrigatable along major waterways in the United States. So that's your Mississippi or Missouri or Ohio rivers. They're buying up most of the farmland that would be able to be used for the crops that need high water usage and the cattle. Think about that. Let that sink in. People aren't paying attention, and it drives me up the wall. I've been seeing stuff like this for 20 years. I've had conversations with friends, and I had a close family member, and they were having a meltdown on me about 6 months ago. And they said, I just wanted to go back to normal. And, you know, saying I was a conspiracy theorist. Now, this person is stockpiling food, okay? So they basically had 1 foot in and 1 foot out. One foot believing, one foot just hoping. That it's going back to normal.
That you didn't know what you were talking about, Doug.
Correct. And what happens? I let it rest. I said, you know what? I'm going to grab a beer. I relaxed, went to sleep, got up the next morning.
Right.
I was looking this person in the eye, and I said, hey, I'm really sorry.
Contagious.
I owe you an apology. maybe
I
gave you too much information. Maybe it's a little too much too fast. I said, but do you understand we're not going back to normal? Do you understand? I said, do you know how I feel every day for the last 20 years,
right,
seeing
yeah.
stuff that's
no,
happening
no
when I was
there.
Serving,
right.
watching
yeah.
the leadership make poor
okay.
choices and start bringing in this woke culture into the military. I said, I've been living in it, and I've been telling guys, and the men went, you know, this is what's going to happen next. We're not going to be able to do certain things. I said, do you understand? I said, I don't like to see these things. I don't like to predict them. I said, how do you think that makes me feel that I wake up in the morning and I'm paying attention to the patterns and the things that are going on that I have to, in my mind, be able to balance out to still have a normal life knowing what is coming and still not going crazy.
And this person's now warmed up to...
This person now realizes
something happened,
and has said, we're not going back to normal. You're right. This person is my wife.
I was going to suggest that when you said you woke up next to the person.
She's probably one of the smartest people I know.
She's been vaccinated?
No.
Talking about it, she was going through, you know, about the mRNA.
I haven't.
And so on and so
I just don't think there's a need for it.
You need to pray this prayer. So I did.
I think it's a, you know, if people feel that way and they feel they have to get it, then by all means. But I think they need to do the research before they make some of those choices. Especially, you know, when I see people that have pre-existing conditions and they're walking around. So, for example, I was driving out here, and I just crossed into Texas, and I'm at a gas station right off the I-10, and I see a mother and a daughter, and I think the mother was probably in her 40s, the daughter's in her 20s, and they were severely obese. They had a gait to their walk. You know, they didn't have a normal walk because of their weight, and they had masks on, and then... in a massive gas station on the side of the I-10, the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour, and they're wearing masks. And I was sitting there watching them, and I was thinking to myself, the mask is probably not advisable for someone in your condition. And that's not being hateful. That's being realistic. They're wearing masks. They can barely walk. They probably need all the oxygen they can.
They have a respiratory, maybe,
correct.
Amperment there is
yes.
what you're suggesting.
Yes.
And he gave me dexamethasone. And
water.
I had albuterol.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Doug.
And now it took...
look, we started down this road, I think, by talking about connecting the IRS to the City of London, and again, we're getting at the Vatican. If there's an infrastructure, and I want to get your view and your thought on how the vaccine correlates to this digital reset that you're speaking of, and you threw in the cryptocurrency into that as well. But if there's an organization. Historically, that has made its presence felt. You were talking about South America. If you walk into any village or town, typically anywhere in the world, but certainly in South America or in the Americas as well, it's the same structure. The two largest buildings are typically a bank
and a church.
Oh,
and
yes.
a church.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, Doug, are you saying that a religion would and could have the infrastructure to roll out this type of conspiratorial attack on the global population?
All right. You didn't take the vote.
I don't think it's so much if. I think you have to look at...
Tell them.
If you were to look at churches in Europe or some of the churches in South America...
Like Protestant churches? Or
probably more Catholic. The amount of gold. So if you've ever been to some church, I don't know if you've ever traveled to Europe or
a little bit.
But if you would have gone in some of the churches, when you walk in,
they're elaborate. They're beautiful.
The amount of wealth, not just in the architecture and the building that went into this, but the ornaments made of, we're talking like some of the most expensive gold in the world, and the amount of it that's used.
Yes.
Now think about back then.
Absolutely.
You know, people talk about human suffering now. You know, and yes, there is quite a bit of human suffering in the world today. Right? And I don't want to go down that road.
He's been arrogant about all of this.
But think about the human suffering back then. What that gold could have been used for. And they never. So you have to look at the church has always been intertwined with the bankers. That's how, you know, it's not a.
Same thing? Are they one and the same?
They're basically one and the same.
Church and state, same thing?
Yeah, so you would say church and state, but it would be, I wouldn't even say church and state. I would say church and bankers. It's tied more with banking.
Folks like me,
the state is just a method of controlling populations.
Honestly,
and workforces.
It's bad.
You're saying that's a state.
Yeah, so for example, if you look at England or the United States, for example, we are just countries, we are just methods of them collecting the taxes. It gets sent, and it's like the whole pot of money, and then it gets divvied up. Of course, the Vatican controls all that. The Bank of England is mainly the clearinghouse for finances in the world.
The Bank of England.
The Bank of England in the City of London. If you go to City of London, what is it? Nothing but banks.
I haven't been. Have you?
Yeah.
And it's
basically like Washington. Right. So you have Washington D.C. Right.
Yeah.
So take Washington D.C., which is power and political power, and they control some of the banking in the United States.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
The City of London, that you're getting massive international across the board money coming in there. It's a banking capital of the world. It's not.
And is this something different than what we're talking about? This London, like Hyde Park and Buckingham Palace, and
that's just the seat of the banking, and that the crown. So, if you look at the Vatican, that's the religious side of it, but the royal families, the supposed royal blood, that's the seat of the royal blood, is in England. So look at England, you have the queen. Like right now, they're trying...
So she's the most powerful monarchy of all these other monarchies?
Current.
Is that what you're saying?
Because you have to understand, so there was a lot of consolidation. You look at World War I.
Yeah.
So the Tsar of Russia. The Tsar of Russia was what? He was related. King George? They were almost identical twins. They were cousins. When they asked, hey, can you bring us in? Like, we're in a bad situation. You would think, that's like me saying to you, you know, we're cousins. And you're like, hey, man, my country's, we're in a bad situation. I need a loan. Or, hey, can you come get me? Can you let me in?
You sharpen my knife.
Hey, I'm knocking on the door. I need you to let me in. No. They let them stay there. They knew they were going to be killed. And they did that. It was a consolidation. Within the royal family to concentrate power. That was an internal battle within the family. If you look at the Austrians and the Prussians, all the cousins. I mean, I could sit... I don't have the sheets out in front of me, but if you were to look at the Prussian Empire and all the royal families that were there, it collapsed. Everything is now concentrated in England. Think about all those kings and monarchs that were around and all interrelated through marriages and blood, and it was all consolidated and now sitting in England. And it's pretty amazing when you look at it because you start thinking, okay, if they're willing to do that to their family and consolidate power, what are they going to do to us? They don't care.
So this power nucleus, mm-hmm, that you're identifying in London, that is controlling the United States banking system, which controls the government of the United States?
And there is
pretty much.
No science.
Yeah, think about it. The IRS isn't even really a legal, if you were to dictate yourself sovereign, of course you have to go through all these hoops not to pay taxes, right? the taxes are not truly going to the United States. The United States might see some of it here and there, but it's going to be going to the city of London. There's all kinds of ties. I could probably find some links for you. I mean, it's you'll read forever. It'll blow your mind. It'll you'll be astounded.
But you're
and
using
it'll irritate you. I will tell you that.
You're using the creature from a Jekyll Island as a base to understand this?
Yeah, you know, basically a lot of people, they're relating the city of London as the English run everything. No, it's the bankers.
It's the city
of London is bankers.
Running England.
Correct. It's banking. It's always been banking.
So who's running the city of London? The Rothschild. The Rothschilds are Jewish.
You know, to be honest with you, everybody knows the Rothschilds.
We're going to stay connected, and I'm going to get you connected to nurses.
I don't think some of the people that are truly running things will ever be known until said time comes.
Doug, what about the structure of the Vatican today? Is you've got the White Pope, Pope Francis, Bergoglio, I think is his name.
Bergoglio.
So Francis, he's not even Franciscan, as the name implies. He's a Jesuit. So there's concealment right there. That's the White Pope. Then you've got the Black Pope, right? The Superior General of the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. So you got two Jesuits in power there. And that's Sosa from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. You know, Venezuela fell to the communist regime.
Right.
And then we've got another pope here. And this is perhaps alluding to what you're talking about in regards to the structure that's behind the Rothschild of the city of London. And that is Pepe Orsini, the head of the some people call him the Gray Pope. If the Vatican is behind this, is there a certain, and I'm going to insert this here, Doug, there's an archbishop that openly wrote letters to Donald Trump exposing and literally saying, now he's been ostracized and put into a corner as being a theorist, but Archbishop Vigano, who's 80 years old, wrote letters to Trump saying that the Vatican was behind this viral pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you concur with that?
Here's what I would say about that. I will concur in the sense of he's not going to come out and publicly say things like of that nature without being sure of himself. He knows what's at risk.
You're saying Vigano.
Correct. I've watched some of his videos. They're very compelling because it makes you... For people who come from a religious background, some people have a really hard time understanding that.
Folks, I'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
But, for example, like I have a friend in Mexico, and I've had these discussions with him on, you know, South America is a very Catholic nation, which is fine, right? And they're very family-oriented. What have you. I mean, if you've ever been to South America, they're very family-oriented, right? And we were having the discussion on the epidemic that had happened with pedophilia. And I said, my question is to you, what is your take on, right, that's the pedophilia, like, the population there. And he's in Mexico. And he said, here's what I will tell you. He goes, they absolutely believe in Jesus. They absolutely believe in the church. He goes, but they're not blind. They understand there's problems. And they take care of it sometimes when they have to, locally. And I kind of paused, and he said, yeah. He said, you have to understand there's also two types of mafia. Or not mafia, cartels. And I'd never heard this before. We started talking, and he was telling me about the two types of cartels. You have the religious cartels, which believe in God, and they're kind of like the Robin Hood, but they also make sure the church does not overstep its bounds. Then you have the regular cartels that, of course, you see on the news and are
drunk.
Yeah.
Or smuggling.
And then, of course, both those cartels hate each other. So, because religious cartels live by the word of God.
being annoying. It was bad.
Drug cartels obviously don't. We know all about that. So there's a major...
Maybe a different
such
god.
A diva. Anyway.
Yeah, that's not a god I don't think we really want to be around. So when you look at that, and you look at how that all plays out, now you understand... There are people that understand. You understand, like, you find out a priest is a pedophile. Okay, well, does that mean you're going to stop believing in God?
No.
Exactly. So, and that's the same way in most of the South American nations. They understand there were some problems. Now that it's in modern, the modern age with the internet and social media and everything. So now those people have been outed. Back in the day, what did they do? They always...
The technocratic age.
Yeah, and in the technocratic age, you know, everybody can see what's going on. You can get something on social media. Within 30 seconds, everybody's watching something and throwing their arms up. Back then, years ago, when we didn't have social media, you know, going all the way back, hundreds, thousands of years, no one would ever have known. They would have put it under the rug. You know, that was... look at the nuns in some of the churches in Europe. What did they always find outside the monasteries or the nunneries, it's babies, aborted babies in the graveyard. Why? Because they were having sex with the priests. You know, so there was things now that it's out in the open that the church is trying to correct itself. Now, is it totally correcting itself? No, you have the Vatican, and I can't put if I would have known, I would have pulled the tweet up. But it was showing, basically right now, and I remember when he was talking about it, that you need to have one church, the Pope. He was basically talking about bringing all the religions under one roof.
This is a recent tweet?
This, I think it was like a year ago. And I remember a lot of people were kind of questioning, because I was having...
This is what Francis said.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to bring it all under one roof. So, for example... If you go to, so imagine being in this church right here, mm-hmm. All right? We're in a great church. They're expanding. Why? Because they have belief in God from the citizens, and they need to expand because more people are coming, right? Now, imagine built on this compound, you go, you know, I'm going to go over to the north side of the compound. I'm going to hit the mosque. Or, hey, you know what? I'm going to go over to the south side. I'm going to hit the synagogue. Or, hey, I'm going to head over. I mean, you follow where I'm going with this, depending on the religion. And I'm not picking on any other religions. What I'm saying is the military was doing the same thing.
Sam.
The church on the base is no longer just the church.
It's the center of the community.
It's the center of the community.
Of the base.
Right, so you...
That's how things are right now in the U.S. military, you're saying?
Yes. So the churches, they don't have a mosque.
What church? Don't make her walk. There's one particular church?
So you have a church, and a pastor will come out, Catholic. He'll give his service. Then the next hour, it'll be a Protestant service. There's no separate services. And then, you know, because, you know, we have Muslims in the military, so then they'll have a Muslim service.
But, Doug, you're saying that on U.S. military bases, the center of those bases is now the church?
No, I wouldn't say the center of the base is the church. Mm-hmm. But the church is not set up just for Christianity.
Right.
You don't have separate places of worship. There's separate times for worship. But that's, if you go into the civilian world. So, for example, I went on a tour with my daughter, my oldest daughter at the time. We were going around some colleges, and we went into one of them. And as we were looking up, it was supposed to be a religious, non-denominational religious center.
Right, okay.
And I remember I'm walking in.
Where was this?
This is in Tampa. And I'm looking up.
On a college or a university?
It was on University of Tampa. And I'm looking up. And I see the organ.
It's downtown Tampa, isn't it?
It's very downtown Tampa. And as I'm looking up at the organ, I see, it took me a second. I knew there was something. First off, I'm looking around. I don't see a cross. I don't see anything that would relate to Christianity, per se.
Okay.
Then I'm looking around, and outside, I walked back outside. I looked up. I see the half moon above the university. Then I walk back in. My wife's listening to this briefing on the college, and you know they're giving like a welcome brief. I'm looking around. When I looked at the organ, it dawned on me. In the organ, built in.
It's a private university?
Yes. It was cross swords.
Cross swords?
Cross swords. Like scimitars. Like you would see out in Aladdin.
What does that mean? What does that represent or signify?
You know, for me, some people will say it's supposed to be their symbol of peace, but I found it very disturbing. In a religious supposed facility, which they try to call community facility, but they also use it for religion, was two swords in an Arabic style.
All right, so Doug is showing... He's got his phone here, and he's showing an example of this image, and perhaps I will assign that to this episode. But again, going back to the premise of where Doug began to speak about this, it was in the information that the Pope Francis has within the past year or thereabouts called for a unification of all global religions.
So basically what they're doing is he's trying to basically bring all the religions in together. If you want to have total control, you have to get all the religious leaders to do what? Cooperate. Most religions over time have not done what? Cooperated.
Martin Luther? Beautiful, but you're exactly right.
You see the handles? See them?
I'll have Doug send this to me. Send this to me, please, Doug, and I'll put that up on the episode. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Let's use the word crusade again. Is this a crusade of some sort?
To me, I wouldn't say it's so much of a crusade. You know, you have to look at it in the context of...
Are you a religious man?
Yes, I am. This morning, I had some very deep reflection. I was late coming here because I had to do a lot of soul searching. Because of being here, listening to some of the speakers, watching people like yourself, interviewing people, and seeing the messages that are being put out, and people trying to pass words of hope and faith, and not even just hope and faith, right? Because I don't believe, I was in the military, hope's not an option. It's only an option if you have faith in yourself and have the moral courage to stand for yourself. That gives you the hope. Get that with a whole bunch of people, now your hope's off the charts. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, they'll sit there and, man, I really hope this works out. I don't know, but you might want to take some action on that. You better have some courage. You better stand up for yourself.
Like Biden saying, "Oh, I hope the Taliban turns over some of the weapons." He said something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
He hopes. The president, the most powerful man, the most powerful man on the planet,
hopes
that the enemy.
It doesn't work that way. You have to have force on force, or you have to have the threat of force. That's how you know it's. Was it cause and effect? Solution, problem, solution, and then of course there's force and.
But you think, Bob, or excuse me, Doug.
No, go ahead.
Doug, you think without a doubt, this is a
crusade. Like when you say crusade, a lot of people, and I'm just going to say this, a lot of people think crusade as though, like the word to some people, because some people think the word crusade means, oh, the Christians are going crazy. They're going to go on a conquest. No, it's this crusade is a crusade of bringing everything together. And controlling everyone, it's to
global.
It's like a global dominance, but it's also to take the and control the love and the happiness that's in the world. So if you think about it, right, you love to work out, you love to do the great things that make you who you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, imagine if you're restricted so much on what you can do, what you can eat, what you can say,
right,
what you can buy. That's where this, the world's going. Now, on the timeline, when's it exactly going to take place? It will be in increments. That's what we're seeing right now. If you've noticed over the last year and a half, what keeps happening? They keep doing increments. Things keep happening. What people don't understand is next harvest season, for example, with food, they've already implemented the changes to start reducing food, right? What's going on?
Codex Alimentarius.
Yeah, we've got right now phosphate, which is used for fertilizer, right? Most of the countries that exported it any to us, the United States, have done what? They're like, no, we're not going to send it out. Why? Because they're keeping it for themselves. So what's going to happen next year with our growing season? You're not going to have all that fertilizer because the phosphate is used for fertilizer. So now we're going to have a food shortage, or it's going to be crunched so high to the point where it's going to be, for some families, it's going to be cost prohibitive to like buy meat from the crops that would have been grown from the fertilizer to feed the animals. I see it now. You go in a store and to buy, I saw, what was it, a rack of ribs, the same rack of ribs would have cost, we'll say, I think they're baby back ribs. I think the same rack of ribs, a nice size, was about $13 to $16 a year ago, or year and a half ago.
Okay.
Last time I went to the store, it was $32.
More than double, almost tripled.
Yeah, I mean, we're at a point in time where people are seeing the prices going up, and they're attributing it to just, okay, the trucker shortage or things of that nature. They're not understanding, it's not just the trucker shortage, it's they're doing a controlled collapse of the food system to get everybody, because of climate change, remember, go back to climate change, that's the new buzzword now, to get everybody onto what? The diet they want you to have. But they're going to have all the fake food, the bugs. I mean, it's, I was reading the article on it.
And what's the
go to the grocery store. What are you going to see? What is it? It's like a fake meat. All the grocery stores.
No, I can't fathom the. Come on, Doug.
So think about. No, I know you're. Hey guys, if you were to be here with me, this is a workout king. No, but you're hearing what I'm saying. If you go to the store, I remember when I think it's called Barely Meat or something along those lines. But they had a small little section. Last time I went, they had two freezers full of it. And I'm thinking to myself, who eats this? It like, who really eats this? I actually tried to eat something one time. I tried it. And I can't fathom it. So go to some of the grocery stores.
I bet you believe it's not butter, Doug.
No, it's not. No.
I bet you believe it's not butter. I bet you believe it's not filet mignon.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And you know what? It's funny because I had a filet mignon yesterday. I was actually having a conversation with somebody else here. And we were actually talking about, she said, it was a lady. And she said, I'm getting a steak dinner tonight. And so I was going back to my hotel. And there's a restaurant near it. And I walked down, parked my car. And I sat there and I thought about her saying that. And I was looking at it. And we had just been discussing the whole situation with food and how they're doing this controlled implosion of the food industry. And I was looking at the menu and I say, I'll take the filet mignon. It just clicked in my head, like, enjoy it as much as I can now, because we don't know what's coming next. I do know they are trying to collapse this food industry.
Who's they?
So if you look at Bill Gates buying up all this land, and all of them are trying to push this basic system of controlled diets.
Pastor Greg, nice to meet you.
You can't eat this. They want to make sure that everybody's eating stuff that they say is healthy. And that's the World Economic Foundation, the WHO. And I'm going to pass you a whole bunch of information, and you can put it up for your listeners, because I'm telling you, when you see this, it's going to... It actually, the more you read, the more in disbelief you become. But here's the thing. It's all in writing. They're telling you what they're going to do.
This is to what? Dumb down the population, make them subservient,
so
weaken them?
So I got to say this to the audience. When Trotter and I, we're sitting here talking, and I can tell he is passionate. I mean, you know you're talking to a man. You know you're talking to a guy that, like, he, I mean, he's standing there, and it's not like he's in your face, but he's letting you know, like, I'm passionate about these causes. I'm passionate about this. And when you're sitting here listening, and we're sitting here talking, let me tell you something. He would not be that type of person if he ate a diet of soy. It just wouldn't happen. And we've seen what it's done to society. I love talking to this guy because this is the type of guy that I served with in the military. These are the type of guys that, no, you got to be out there. You got to be a go-getter. You can't be afraid. You got to just get out there and get the word and just talk truth.
Doug, I happen to be... Well, you do too, and this is my comment about Alan. It's just the fact of the matter. We have different ancestries. You and I have an ancestry that roots from Europe, and Alan does not. Okay, it's just the way history has portrayed it, but this is what I'm getting at here, is that you're feeding or picking off or receiving the energy that I'm putting out is the white man. And I'm saying that because that's what I am. I just simply cannot speak for other ethnicities, okay? I'm identified with that. I'll take the identification. That's, people want to identify me as, I'll self-identify as that. As a white man. Is the white man the biggest threat to this enemy?
What?
You know, I would say the biggest threat.
Hanging out, you know?
It's not just the white man. At this point in time, the biggest threat is the white man.
At this point in time?
At this point in time. If you look at in history, depending on how things go.
I'm not saying I'm the biggest threat here. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I understand completely what you're saying. What you're saying is white men, if you look at the United States, is mainly made up of a white culture. But we have, you know, you have a Hispanic.
Right.
And we have African Americans, you know, there's some Asians, you know, that make up smaller parts of the
all
population.
All fall victim to the same system that we speak of?
And they all fall victim to the system because there's a narrative pushed because they have to control a population, you have to get rid of the toxicity. Toxicity has been built into our system. Or I don't even want to say toxicity. It's more masculinity, right? Just you had to have that type of stuff back in the 1800s to farm. You'd be a rancher. You know, you can't have somebody out there. You know, they didn't have the technology back then. Now you have technology. Look, think about it this way. Now you have technology. You don't need masculine to do quote-unquote masculine stuff. No, we have robots for that. We have machines for that. We have, like, it's basically a replacement. But to get rid of that, because a lot of people are what? No, you're not going to take my guns. No, you're not going to do this. No, you're not going to do that. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be toxic. You know, some guys, you know, they use it as a code word.
They're calling black men racists.
Well, because a lot of, and here's why. You have to understand this. A lot of, you know, gentlemen I've talked to that are black, they're waking up, or some of them were never asleep. They are family men. Bottom line, you cannot be a weak family man or you have a weak family. All the men I know that are black that have strong families is because they had a strong father who stuck their foot up their rear end when the time came. It was just like my father. My father was military, just like I was. I didn't get beat all the time. There's nothing like that. But guess what? He had stipulations. If I didn't meet those stipulations, guess what? I didn't get rewarded. I got restricted. I got confiscated to the house. I could not go out and do certain things. He would take away certain things. You know, back when I was there, I remember having the flip TV. And then we had MTV come out, and that was the big thing. I was disconnected from all that. I wasn't allowed to watch it. You know, nowadays people would say, oh, that's child abuse. What do you mean? You know, we have things now. Look, you know, you're doing this on a cell phone. Mm-hmm. We have kids who, if their cell phone's taken away, I had one friend who they took the daughter's phone. They were basically trying to call it child abuse. So, I mean, we have weird things going on. Kids now actually think their cell phone is theirs. Even though you're paying a bill and you're paying for that data plan, there's kids out there because their parents haven't instilled in them, this is a privilege, it's not a right. And kids now think it's their right. And it's the same thing with men. So if you look at current society, like I was telling you, if you have a weak family, you can break it down. The communists were very good at that. Look at most of their athletes. They never saw their family after a certain point in time. And a lot of other jobs, if they needed them for mathematics, hey, you're going to mathematics school in this city, we're pulling you from your family. Because they knew you had a gift at a young age for mathematics or science. So that's how they broke the system down. The Chinese had done that for a certain period of time. So you have to understand, if they can do that here and break down the family, that gives them total control. Right now, I can tell you, a lot of the youth, and I've heard these conversations, they will come out because they see a sound bite on TikTok, okay, or Instagram or what have you, and they will recite the misinformation that the left, and I don't even like to call it the left, but it's those in power that are looking to control the kids. They're giving them bad information. It's all propaganda. You look at the left media, Yahoo News, for example. I asked somebody, so where do you see that? Oh, yeah, it was on Yahoo News. So are you actually quoting that? Yahoo News. You know that's not like a real site. Like, why don't you go do some research? Please do some research. Don't talk to me. Not trying to be rude, but that would
not credible.
It's not credible
source. So reporting.
We're back in a situation in this world where how in the heck do we recorrect this? You know what that is? Getting out there and getting kids out there fishing, doing the hard stuff. Take away the phone and say, no, we're going to go fishing. We're going to go hunting. We're going to go hiking. We're going to go camping. And, oh, by the way, I got some skill tests that we're going to do. And you're not coming back till we're done.
So Doug, as we wind down, and this has been a very thorough discussion. You and I brought it up as well. You've mentioned technocrats, and there is a former guest on my show. His name is Wood, and he is the author. Patrick is the author of Technocracy.news. Why he was an important figure in the work that I do is because of a former Stanford Hoover fellow named Sutton, Dr. Anthony Sutton, that wrote a number of books, but one of them primarily being the Federal Reserve Conspiracy. And not talking about a theory, talking about an actual conspiracy to overthrow the government via controlling its economics, its banking, which we've talked about, and you've discussed as saying that's being managed through the City of London. We're certainly speaking their language, or England's language, maybe not that of the City of London. Are there some words that you want to talk about in regards to the technocrats and identifying who they are? Because I pull back, Doug, and I pull back and I say, okay, well, there's two threats that we've kind of talked about right here. We've talked about a city-state combination or a unified religious-type threat that seems to stem out of one of these historic powers, and that is the most organized, without a doubt, the most organized religion on the planet, period. It's the largest religion. It's the most organized religion in that regard, the Vatican, the Catholic Church, and you're talking about the Jesuits and the Franciscan and Dominicans. We can talk about the different power structures within that organization. But religiously speaking, that seems to be a threat, as it was during the time of George Washington, and has remained a threat. Why not? Why should we not be able to consider it a threat? Well, we are, and you and I are discussing that and saying this, that yes, if you're listening to this, you should consider that as being a real threat. And we've talked about. But how do the technocrats, technology, if you will, advance a digital currency? How does that fit into this encroachment of religious monopolization?
When I look at the technocrats, they're in essence, and this is just theory. I'm just throwing this out there on my thoughts. the technocrats are tied in with the religions, you know, like how we were talking about, you want to kind of bring the religions together because it's basically consolidating the human psyche. Okay, so you bring all these religions together, you have this one kind of religion, kind of sort of, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how I know the Pope's talked about it, you know, trying to have this.
Are you Catholic?
No. I've been to Catholic service, you know. I had no issues. I mean, it was good service. But the when I look at, you have this consolidation, then you bring in the technocrats. Now, looking at the consolidation of information and how they're able to do that, how they're able to control it and control what you say. So if you're saying something they don't want to hear.
Censorship.
They do the censorship or they shadow ban you. They start ratcheting it up, those type of things. And with the social credit score and with all these other things, they're able to actually help bring that together. And it's like a central power as they have basically been kind of pulled in on the power structure. They are basically the technocrats are the ones overseeing the technological implementation of the New World Order.
Which is run by this coming onset digital currency Great Reset.
Correct. So like if you what do you call the, they talk about the Great Reset's coming in the, you know, agenda, what is it, 2030 now? Or it was 2021. Now it's agenda 2030. So if you look at Azure, they keep consolidating all these companies. You notice how when people were getting banned, for example, what should have shocked people was when one platform banned somebody or news agency, and all of a sudden, within probably about 30 minutes, all of them had banned them. Before people had even found out, all of a sudden you just found out, boom, boom, boom. It was like a cascade effect. That was all planned. So if you look at the technology, these technocrats are
being manipulated.
They are basically the information. They're the ones controlling information, so all of this can take place. They're moving their companies. You know, look at the controlled implosion during COVID-19 of the economy. Look at all the small businesses that went down. Look at, you know, Bill Gates and all these people were such, Jeff Bezos and all these people. I understand that they're business people, right? To a point. Excuse me. And they're business people to a point, right? Well, if you're so really wanting to see the best thing in the world, why didn't anybody step up and help those small businesses and all those people that were losing their jobs when this came out, because no one could get together? There was none of that. It wasn't there. No, they were consolidating their power. In addition to that, what were they doing?
And their wealth has skyrocketed since.
Well, and here's the thing. Everybody thinks they just got the business. You understand me? And when I say the business, like what you would have paid to go to like a smaller business or like to buy food. Hey, I didn't go to the local pub or the local restaurant, so I had to order my food from whatever service, Amazon, Walmart, whatever, okay? What people don't realize is they also came in and bought up all these businesses that were basically tanking and going bankrupt. They came in and were starting to buy up what? All the property at fire sale prices. Now you have the real estate, which now adds to your value even more and your wealth. Look what happened in Minneapolis. You had 1,500 physical structures completely burned. You know, if you look at the pictures of Minnesota up in Minneapolis after all the riots, it looked like Somalia, the pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, Serbia, something like that. It was a total wasteland. It looked like it had got shelled.
War zone.
So now let's think about that. Was that on purpose? Because no one stopped them. Who's buying up all the property in Minnesota? I'll leave that one for you to reach. Think about that, brother. 1,500 businesses. 1,500 over burned down. who's buying up the property in Minnesota?
Soros. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Great question.
But if you were to look at all the shell companies, and when I say shell companies, it's, you know, usually you might have the higher company, like say you have a Vanguard or BlackRock. Then it cascades down into a couple different companies, yep. And then you have the smaller land management, whatever, or real estate, and they come in and buy it. But it's actually the profits filter up into Vanguard or BlackRock.
Yeah.
Which basically they're actually one in the same anyway. So, and it's happening. Yeah, man, this has been an awesome conversation, man. You're a smart guy, brother. I enjoy this. You are smart. Your users and listeners that are out there, the people that are listening, you're doing a great service. This has been a great conversation. We need to get together again, man. I'm about to start my podcast back up. I think we're going to have some conversations.
Looking forward to it. Doug, some final thoughts for listeners. Final thoughts. And as you listen to, what is it, Dangerous Doug? No, it's, what does Clay call you?
Clay was making the joke of call me Scary Doug.
Scary Doug. As listeners, as you listen to Scary Doug, mention these final thoughts for you to walk away with. I want you to take in consideration that here is a man that served his country for 20 years.
Yeah, about 26 total.
26 years in the military. He's traveled the world. He's seen the dangers that are now present in your homeland. It's like a domestic intrusion. It is a destiny. It's not like it is a domestic intrusion. It's not a theory. It is a conspiracy. Period. It's a conspiracy to overthrow this country and bring it to its knees, and it's active, and you're facing it. And you, listening, are the resistance. So as you listen to Doug share these final thoughts with you, take into consideration that history that he brings to this delivery. Please.
You know, the best thing I can tell everyone out there is, number one, you need to get right with the Lord. You need to understand it's okay to be afraid. But we're going to be entering a time when you have to have faith in yourself, have that courage to stand up. You can't hope for things unless you take action. You can't hope for other people. You have to galvanize yourself. That will give you the hope, because you will know as you see others gaining strength from you. Strength in numbers leads to greater faith and greater hope and greater outcomes. So please start making preparations for yourself. If you don't have water and food and certain things on hand, take care of that now. Get those things for yourself, because there will be turbulent times coming ahead. And you will be relied upon by your family. And you don't want to be the weak link.
Doug, thank you very much.
Thanks, brother.